In addition, the Iliad gives us, and the Greeks themselves recognize this, the Iliad and the Odyssey gave the first clear vision of who the gods were. Herodotus, a Greek historian from Ionia, from the shores of Asia Minor, writing in the 5th century BC, said, the gods were formless. They were unknown to us until they were revealed to us by Homer and the poet after Homer, Hesiod, who we'll also be talking about in a later lecture. And that is a very important point to make, because in many ways, Greek civilization still lives with us in the way the Greeks invented their gods as mythological figures. In some ways, in the Iliad, they're foils to the humans. Achilles goes through this, his destiny. Achilles has to face these choices of what he shall do. The gods can do what they wish and never really suffer the consequences. Well, there might be a little embarrassment. The one that comes to mind to me the best is when Zeus has ordered that the Trojans should win so that the Greeks will appreciate Achilles, and Achilles will be able to humble Agamemnon, who has humiliated him in council. And while Zeus is presiding over the battle and has Hector, the Trojan hero, winning and driving the Greeks back to the ships, and they're about to burn the ships. This is the great day of battle. It's in some ways the climax of the whole Iliad, and the Greeks are falling back in confusion. And while this is going on, Zeus's wife Hera, who favors the Greeks, decides she's got to do something about this. She's got to distract Zeus, so Poseidon can pop up from the sea and rally the Greeks and drive back the Trojans. So what she does is she goes to Aphrodite, borrows the girdle of Aphrodite, makes herself irresistible. Aphrodite is not too bright here. She favors the Trojans but hands it over to Hera. And Hera shows up, you know, arrayed in her finery to Zeus, and Zeus is watching the battle going on, and he's very intense, and he looks at Hera, and then a double take, and says, Hera, never have you looked so better than when I seduced. And he goes through all his infidelities, and Hera is listening to all of this, and as a good poet, in effect, the camera pans. And the next thing you find is Zeus wakes up, Hera's long gone, and the Trojans are losing. Hector's on the field, nearly killed, he's been driven back, and it's just a marvelous foil of what the difference of the gods. They play around, they might be embarrassed, but, you know, no one really gets hurt on Olympus. And the Greeks have this delightful way of seeing their gods in this literary form, and at the same time, it doesn't negate belief. The Greeks are quite pious. They perform their rituals. They build their temples. But they're able to see the gods both to understand them as great glorious figures and also comic figures. And that's the remarkable dimension about Greek civilization, this ability to see contradictions, to see paradoxes. They can't explain them, but they do accept them. And they see this in all human situations. One could be heroic, one could be tragic, and one can be ridiculous and comic at the same time. And both are parts of the human element. In the classical age, that tended to lead to seeing the god Apollo as the god of reason, Dionysus the god of passions and emotions, and this interplay is constantly there. So what we get from the poems is not only this memory of a distant Bronze Age past, not only a remarkable coincidence of documentary sources, later poems, and archaeology, but a real glimpse into who these new people, the Greeks, are. The one point that's missing in Homer, the one element that seems to be absent, is that Homer, as of yet, does not know of a word to describe the Greeks as a separate people. And in reading the Iliad and the Odyssey, you also get that in the encounters. The Trojans are very much like the Greeks, except I think Priam has 50 wives, but that's really just to provide a lot of Trojan heroes to slay for the Greek heroes. There isn't a sense that the Greeks are a separate group from the rest of the world. And that is a conceit that will emerge in the generation after Homer. And that will result due to the development of Greek city-state institutions, the so-called polis, and the creation of a political conceit that somehow the Greeks have a form of government that distinguishes them from the rest of the world. And that new world, that new word that will describe these people will be Hellenes, or Hellenic in its adjectival form. Greek is actually a Roman term for these people, and not very nice term at that. But in Homer, there is not that word. He uses Achaeans, he uses Danaoi, he uses Argives. He has everything there. The Greeks are in many ways formed. They still do not yet have that separate definition of who they are. But that is soon to come. And to a great extent, the Greek experience on the shores of Asia Minor will help develop that sense of being a Hellene, and that will be in a future lecture.